From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Monday, August 10th. Today on the podcast, a look at the crowded Democratic race for a statewide office that doesn't have many specific powers. First, today's headlines.
Here's a bit of good news to start your week. No one in Vermont is currently hospitalized with COVID-19, according to the health department. But the department did report 11 new cases over the weekend. Two of the confirmed cases were in Essex County, where there had previously been only 4 known instances of the disease. The other cases were identified in Chittenden, Bennington, and Caledonia counties.
The state is now offering relief grants to child care centers. Governor Phil Scott said at his media briefing on Friday that the new program will be accepting grant applications through August 26th.
This will help child care providers with losses and additional expenses due to COVID-19.
Child care and after-school programs, as well as summer day camps and parent-child centers, are all eligible for the grants. There's $12 million available total. Money for the program comes from the federal coronavirus relief bill that was passed by Congress earlier this year.
We've heard how Vermont's small businesses are struggling in the coronavirus economy. And now state commerce officials say even the current $500 million relief package falls short. The new VPR Vermont PBS poll found 93% of Vermonters are concerned about the future of the state's small businesses in the pandemic. Ted Brady, deputy secretary at the Agency of Commerce and Community Development, says in the last month, his agency and the Department of Taxes gave out $70 million in grants to more than 2,000 Vermont businesses. He told Vermont Edition recently that it's just not enough.
We estimate that every month of this crisis is costing our economy about $1 billion, having a negative economic impact to these businesses of more than $1 billion.
Brady says he's hopeful additional grant programs will be available later this month, including programs for businesses that are owned and operated by one person.
So you may have heard that there's a contested race for lieutenant governor this year, as current lieutenant governor David Zuckerman is running for governor. But what does the lieutenant governor actually do? Well, aside from presiding over the state Senate and casting the occasional tie-breaking vote, the lieutenant governor's job doesn't really have much in the way of constitutional powers. But it is a statewide post, and it's often been an important stepping stone for many ambitious politicians in Vermont. This year, 4 Democratic candidates for lieutenant governor are vying for their party's nomination in tomorrow's primary. And our colleague Peter Hirschfeld asked each of those candidates what distinguishes them from the field.
The $600 weekly benefit that's kept many unemployed Vermonters afloat during the coronavirus pandemic expired last week, and Brenda Siegel says she understands the financial stress it's going to cause.
I'm going to be losing it as well, and it makes me really think about the experience that so many Vermonters are having right now across the state and how important it is to have someone who really understands that struggle inside the legislature.
As a single mother who struggled with poverty, economic dislocation, and losing family members to the opioid epidemic, Siegel says her personal experiences have infused her political activism. And Siegel, a Brattleboro resident who ran for governor in 2018, says she'll make sure that historically marginalized voices get amplified in Montpelier if voters elect her their next lieutenant governor.
The lieutenant governor's office needs an advocate inside the office. So being able to have someone with lived experience in there, someone who is of the people in that same role, allows you to have some influence on the ground with those issues.
Debbie Ingram says her personal backstory is unique as well. She says she's endured career setbacks because of her sexual orientation and also is in active recovery from alcoholism.
And to have a leader who has been through difficult times herself and come out stronger on the other side, I hope will be inspiring and helpful to people.
Ingram brings 4 years of legislative experience as a state senator representing Chittenden County.
I also believe that I have the best record on what is arguably the most important issue facing our society, racial justice.
Ingram helped lead the push to have Columbus Day permanently changed to Indigenous Peoples Day. She also advocated for legislation that created Vermont's first ever Director of Racial Equity. And she introduced a bill that expanded race data collection in Vermont law enforcement agencies. Ingram says the principles of inclusion and equity will guide her work in other policy arenas as well.
Because I've always found that people on the ground who are really engaged in the issues are the ones who understand them the best and have the best ideas for solutions around them. So I want to make sure that their voices are being lifted up and that Montpelier is paying attention.
Tim Ash is also seeking the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. Ash has spent the past 4 years as president pro tem of the Vermont Senate. He says that's given him an outsized role in government's response to the coronavirus pandemic and also a keen understanding of how state government operates.
This is a moment to really think, what is the point of the lieutenant governor's position? You are the person ready to fill in on a moment's notice. I'm ready to step in if need be and have been tested these last 4 months for sure to play that role.
Ash says that as leader of the 30-member Senate, he's had to subordinate his personal priorities in Montpelier. As lieutenant governor, he says he'd be free to pursue a more ambitious anti-poverty agenda. And he says that would include a proposal for a youth service corps, akin to the Civilian Conservation Corps created during the Great Depression.
And come up with what I believe should be the next big bet on young people in this state, which is opportunities like a youth service corps, not just for hundreds of people a year, but possibly thousands of young people a year.
Molly Gray is a newcomer to statewide politics and had kept a low profile in Montpelier prior to entering the race. Gray says that's also what sets her apart from the other candidates on the primary ballot.
I think first and foremost, I'm not a product of the state house.
Gray is an assistant attorney general who formerly worked for Congressman Peter Welch in Washington, D.C. And while she may not have participated vocally in state house politics of late, Gray says her work with the U.S. Department of State qualifies her to lead in Montpelier.
I'm the only candidate that's worked in crisis, in humanitarian crisis. I've led field missions into Baghdad, into Iraq, into Nigeria, where I've had teams that I've had to manage and support their security.
Gray says she's also familiar with crises facing residents of Vermont. She grew up on a vegetable and dairy farm in Orange County and attended the University of Vermont and Vermont Law School.
And what I'm hearing from Vermonters is that we still don't have adequate access to broadband. We still don't have adequate access to universal childcare, paid family and medical leave.
The choice voters make in next week's lieutenant governor primary could have a long-lasting impact on Vermont politics. 4 of the last 7 lieutenant governors have gone on to win election to either the governor's office or the U.S. House of Representatives. For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
And a reminder, the primary is tomorrow, so return your ballot to your town or city clerk ASAP or head to the polls tomorrow if you need to.
If you're still deciding who to vote for, you can check out candidate interviews, debates, and a lot more through our voter guide. That's at vpr.org. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Matt Smith.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email thefrequency@vpr.org, and we are on Twitter @thefrequencyvpr.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.